says in Hebrews 12, verse 13, it says, and make straight paths for your feet, so what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Get busy. Make straight paths for your feet. Move forward. Do something. Do something. And without that power, folks, the lame would remain lame. The things would not be accomplished. So we recognize what can happen when the church lacks power. Hallelujah. Our country has had widespread electric power for over 100 years, but there are some countries which have only established electrical system recently. And in those countries, the building of a power plant revolutionized that area. Suddenly, they had lights. Companies had power. New jobs were created. Modern communications were established. Just think, electricity is necessary for most modern societies to function. Hospitals, air traffic controllers, street lights, modern sewage systems, most forms of communication, even the U.S. financial industry are all dependent upon electricity. Electricity is truly a blessing from God. Amen. It is truly a blessing from God. Electricity is also considered so essential to the well-being of our country, it is labeled as a critical infrastructure. Critical. You and I know that our modern way of life could no longer exist without electricity. Oh, if only the Church of Jesus developed such a dependency on the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Only if the church could develop such a dependency on the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. For the day of Pentecost, we see the church fearful, weak, denying Christ, unwilling to stand up for Jesus in public, and at one point, even returning to their old occupation of fishing. The Lord had to know that such a powerless church could never overthrow the deep-seated strongholds of demonic power which existed all over the world. They had to know. God had to know this. So Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then he said in Acts chapter 1, 8, chapter 1 and verse 8, the one we read earlier, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. After the Holy Spirit baptism in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, we see a dramatic transformation of the apostles.
Amen.
Dramatic. They are unafraid. They are confident, they are bold, they are unwavering, they're even eloquent. Amen. They have an anointing on them. Every one of them but John marched resolutely to die as martyrs. Everyone. And we know John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, where he later died as a prisoner. It was the Holy Spirit's inner presence that gave these men the fearlessness necessary to face death with joy. Amen? Amen? To face death with joy. And this same power is still available to you and to me. Amen. You and I need the same Holy Spirit power just as much as the first generation church did, because supernatural power is essential if we are to witness for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now, understand there have always been critics who deny the power of the Holy Spirit. And there are some religious leaders who teach that the Spirit's power and miracles are confined to the first church and are no longer active today. Both of these are false teachings. Both of them. Bonnie and I visited a church one time and heard the pastor say that all of these works were works of the devil. We bit our tongue and sat on our hands. We probably shouldn't, but we did. The Holy Spirit performed miracles throughout the Old and New Testaments over and over again. Yeah, amen. Amen? History shows us that the supernatural miracles of God are active all the time and are evident in various places. Amen. Amen. They're always active. My prayer is they're active in your life as well as in mine. Amen. Now listen, saints, the only real catalyst for a Holy Spirit miracle is a specific need that requires a miracle. Right? Wherever there is a need and a faith to match it, there can be a miracle. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus' plan for reaching the world hasn't changed. It hasn't changed, and it still involves His people, endued with power of the Holy Spirit, going and telling the good news.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Paul even commanded us to be filled with the Spirit. He said in Ephesians 5:18, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And what does the book of Luke say? It says, be clothed with power from on high. In Luke 24, verse 49, using the NIV, and I love this, folks, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that. I love that statement. So, folks, the biblical mandate for your life is to receive power. Receive power. So the question is, do you have power? Amen? Amen? Now, how do we stay full of God's power? How do we stay full of God's power? Well, first of all, we are to seek and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to obtain the power. There are two works of the Holy Spirit. One to regenerate, which is salvation, and the other to empower, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When years ago we attended Methodist Church, and the old-time Methodists called this the second blessing. Mm, right. Amen. The second blessing is what they considered the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Most often, people do not receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. Most often. Now, let's look at a scripture up here on the board. The Samaritans in Acts chapter 8 heard the gospel in verse 6. All right? And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They received the gospel, okay? And then in verse 12, they believed. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Okay, so they heard, they received, they went ahead and were baptized, right? Okay, then go to verse 14 through 17. Peter and John did something here. Peter and John. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right? Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. We could go on and read that chapter, but one of the devil's henchmen there wanted to buy the power that he saw when these men laid hands on these converts. What did they see? They saw them speaking in tongues, prophesying, becoming bold. Amen? They saw a changed life. They saw something that had happened to these people that they knew. And they knew well. And all of a sudden, something was different. We want to buy this power. You don't have to buy it. You just have to receive it, right? In Acts chapter 10:20, Jesus tells the apostles that their names are written in the book of life. Okay? Then that's way earlier than Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4, where they received the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us at salvation, but He empowers us when we receive the baptism by fire. Yeah. Isn't that what happened in the upper room? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is vital that we receive both the baptism and the empowerment if we are to fulfill Christ's calling and His plan for our lives. Amen. Amen. God will never force the baptism of the Holy Spirit on any believer. But the key to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a hunger for more of God. Amen. A hunger for more of God. If you want all of God you can get, then that shows that you're hungry. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen. A hunger. It's when you hunger after the Father's promise that you will be filled. Amen. So pray for a personal hunger for the Spirit of God. Then simply ask to be filled. Secondly, you must abide in Jesus daily if you are to remain full. Do you have Jesus as your top priority? Do you spend time with Him every day? Jesus must remain your number one focus and your number one desire. Amen. What is the first commandment? You shall love the Lord your God. That's number one. That's the first. Are you diligent in reading His Word, giving yourself to prayer and spending time in worship? Folks, it's essential that we remain in Him and connected by the Spirit. It's essential. Thirdly, you ask and seek and stay full of the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, I read it once before already, it says, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Elijah is a very familiar prophet in the Old Testament. His protege was Elisha. Elisha was serious about following in the footsteps of Elijah. So at Elijah's departure from this earth, Elisha asked for a double anointing. A double anointing, double what Elijah had. And he wanted more, folks.
Amen.
He wanted more. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Double. As followers of the Lord Jesus, we should all be crying out, "God, give me more. I want more of your presence. I want more of your anointing. I want more of your Spirit." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Consider this. A poor farmer had a cow who kept giving less and less milk until it completely quit giving milk. He took it to the veterinarian for an assessment. Have you been milking it every day? Yes, a glass or two. The veterinarian sat up and frowned. If you don't get all the milk available every day, it will dry up. Brothers and sisters, if you're content with less, you will have less. That's right. A muscle will atrophy if it's not used.
Right.
Amen. You must stay full of the Spirit at all times if you want to have sufficient resources to meet the need of the moment.
Amen.
Amen. You must stay full of the Spirit at all times if you want to have sufficient resources to meet the need of the moment. Finally, use the Spirit or lose it. Use the Spirit or lose it. Elton Trueblood, the Quaker scholar, once compared evangelism to fire. Evangelism occurs, he said, when Christians are so ignited by their contact with Christ that they turn, that in turn set others fire. It is easy to determine when something is aflame. It ignites other material.
Amen.
Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out.
Yeah.
We've been given the power to witness, but if we fail to turn that power on, it will not flow. You cannot keep a fire going unless you give it new material to consume. Amen. That means you must share the fire with others.
Amen.
Only then will it continue to burn, when you give it new material to burn. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One time Billy Graham was holding revival services in a large church. The revival was not going too well. Even the leadership of the church seemed spiritually sluggish and carnal. Toward the end of the week, after Billy had arrived at the church early before a service, the pastor and the deacon board called him to come in and counsel an erring board member who had evidently been caught with wine in his possession. After the board members and pastor had grilled the erring member, they invited Billy Graham's comments. He said that he didn't think that board member was any worse than the rest of them.
Yeah.
They all looked to him with shock. But he continued, the same scripture that says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm having trouble with that word today. You men are just as guilty in not being filled with the Spirit as that man is for drinking wine. All of you need to be down at the altar tonight and cry out to God to save you from empty and corrupted hearts. Wow. Wow. So what's the answer to an empty and corrupted heart? Simply more of the Holy Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit in time past, and you're still overflowing. Others here today are low on fuel and may need a refilling. But what about you folks who have yet to be baptized in the Spirit? The Holy Spirit is here. He will do whatever you desire, whatever your hunger puts before Him.
Yes.
Amen? If you have a desire, then we act in faith. We act in faith. Right?
Yes.
But you must take a step in faith. I want us to stand together. I want to sing a little chorus again. Last week we sang the chorus, We've Got the Power. This week I want to sing one that says, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. What I just gave you was His word.
Yes, that's right.
It isn't a theory that Pastor Jerry has. It isn't something that I dug up out of some weird churches. That's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And the Word of God is what we set our life to, what we follow, to be obedient and to God. We follow the Word of God. So I'll just sing this chorus, and then we're going to pray a minute, okay? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, will Lord grace to trust Him more. Hallelujah. 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 Lord Jesus, we praise Your name. Lord, we know that there's nothing in the Word of God that's there by accident. Lord, throughout the Word, You declare to us about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in Jude verse 20, You say, pray in the Holy Spirit, building up your most holy faith. You tell us in various places that we must be filled with the Spirit. And Lord, we need this to operate in the way that You want us to, Lord God, to spread Your word, to be an influence to people. Lord, to be able to minister to hurting people out there and bring them into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're not adequate in ourselves. It takes something supernatural to shine a light on what we have, Lord God, the relationship we have with You, so that other people would even want that. Sometimes people need a miracle in their life before they would give their heart to God. Lord, again, You give us power for these things. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in You, Lord.